You shoot me in a dream, you better wake up and apologize.
Stuff your sorries in a sack, mister.
I thought this was there.
Congratulations, you've unlocked All Apologies, a show about apology tours and demanding satisfaction. I'm your host, Andy Q Public, and with me, as always, is your co-host, Joe Sixpack.
What's going on, everybody? You can see it right here at the bottom of my screen, March 9th, a comedy at the Carlson, subreddit surfing live featuring All Apologies podcast and Carl Hamburger doing stand-up. It's coming up fast. We're super excited about getting to that, and talking about Stuttering John will be the focus
super gay
of our the focus of our show, and really looking forward to it. I personally, Andy, am not really a stage performer, right? We had a family gathering today, and Andy played a little bass, and I accompanied on the box drum because that's my level of musical talent.
Joe's rocking the wood block.
I didn't shit my pants in fear in front of that audience. So we'll see how it goes on March 9th.
Yeah.
Come on out. For all I know, it'll be a small crowd, and I'll have nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah. You'd be lucky to be nervous. So right. Let's hope that you are. Yeah. And in the meantime, I want to thank everybody that has been kind enough to join the Patreon and support the show. And I want to invite anybody that is not enjoying the Patreon content to check it out. We have mini episodes on there every Monday night, and we round up the Instagram content and we elaborate on the posts from the rest of the week. And it's a lot of fun. But if you don't want to support the show financially in that way and see the video element and the bonus exclusive content, I would be grateful to anybody that wants to join our Instagram account and follow. You could see everything that we talked about on the mini show on Instagram. And yeah. I love it when people comment and leave apologies or demand apologies on Instagram. And you could also rate and review the show wherever you find podcasts. That helps support the show too.
I was laughing, Andy, because right there you said anybody who's not enjoying the Patreon content, meaning if you haven't joined yet. But yeah. There have also been people who, you know, have offered suggestions and help and everything. And Andy and I have been talking about it and stuff like that. And it's just like, yeah, this is a bit of a journey. You know, you are building this experience with us from the ground up. And we do appreciate that. You know, we appreciate the comments and the everybody who pats us on the head and says, you boys go get a pudding out of the fridge. You're doing all you can right now. But we are doing it. And you mentioned the Instagram content. Now, if you are following, you might see that Andy's out there putting a face to the posts and everything now and everything. So we are. Things are changing. Things are evolving. We're trying to find the best ways and the most entertaining ways to bring you all of the content and things like that. And it is a journey. So if you are like an Uncle Sammy Pooh or a Perth Beach Chills, person who's been here from the beginning, you know, we appreciate you, but we also appreciate all the people coming on. And we're just building it and doing the best to bring the most entertaining thing we can.
Speaking of Uncle Sammy Pooh,
way to go, dude!
He was in the chat and he wants to demand an apology from me for my butt ass taste in rap because I said that Tom McDonald's song "White Boys."
Did I miss this? Yeah, it and the Billy McFarland thing, you mentioned Tom McDonald?
No. This comes over from WATP. If you're behind on WATP, Tom McDonald put out a song that featured Ben Shapiro spitting rhymes, and I covered a reaction video, a YouTube reaction video of a couple of guys reacting to Tom McDonald's Facts, the song Facts. And I said, it wasn't that great. And I referenced White Boys as a Tom McDonald song that I would rather listen to. And I want Uncle Sammy Poo to be aware that that is not my taste in rap. In the vast grand scheme of rap, Tom McDonald doesn't register. But Andy, if I listen to Tom McDonald, it's going to be White Boys.
Andy prefers Blueface or Soulja Boy.
Yeah, no. But in the end, he said, for this heinous act, I now bestow the title of GOAT over to Andy 2, Joe Sixpack of Coors Light.
I'm the bloat, not the
GOAT. Yeah.
What do you got there, Joe? I'm Uncle Sammy Poo Part 2 over on the Monique says Oprah Winfrey betrayed her and she's still waiting for an apology. Under that one, Uncle Sammy Poo had, I would like to apologize to my PS4 controller that I nearly broke back in 2016 when I was playing an intense game of Star Wars Battlefront 2015 in parentheses on that. And my power went out, causing me to lose progress. I'm not sure what that has to do with Monique, but thank you, Uncle Sammy Poo, for your apology on for apologizing to your PS4 controller, I guess. I don't know.
He's just using the comment section the way it was intended to be used. And that's to
give you apologies
to be read on the show. Yep. And keeping that in mind, I also had one from Staubach Lover on our Robert Kennedy Jr. post saying that Robert Kennedy Jr. should apologize to the woman his uncle drowned. And that's going to round up the... It's the thought that counts, Joe.
Yeah.
Why don't you take us to the main featured segment of the show?
All right.
All right. Now, if you don't live in the States, you may not know who Oprah Winfrey is. She's basically the Steve Jobs or Jeff Bezos of daytime talk show horse shit for women, right? And Oprah made her bones as a Chicago-based daytime talk show host and parlayed that into a multimedia conglomerate that included print and film. She herself had a movie career and produced films, and that will become a little bit more relevant later on. But she was the one that gave everybody in her audience a free car. This is for, we have some Australian and Irish listeners that might not know who Oprah is. So she's famously, go ahead, Joe.
To that point, what is like the most globally recognized thing that Oprah would be known for? Right. Because like, I think everybody says like, she's like a black female billionaire, right? That seems to be all American money. I don't know, aside from like The Color Purple, the Steven Spielberg directed Color Purple, I don't know what else you would know Oprah from.
Yeah, I mean, internationally probably people would know her from like A Wrinkle in Time and
Color
Purple. You know, she's in some movies, and if you're not in the States and getting NBC daytime television, I don't know why you would give a shit who Oprah is. That's why I'm explaining this to Rochester Ray and Beach Chills and Principled Uncertainty. These guys might not know who Oprah is, but she famously gave her whole audience a car. You get a car and you get a car and you get a car. If you hear that and you're not from Chicago,
or the bees, that's or it's Oprah. If it's a meme, it's the bees. Bees.
Oh, yeah. Or she's the woman that is wondering why Tom Cruise is jumping on her couch. That's Oprah.
Yeah, right.
And who you might not know, you know, everybody knows Oprah, but you might not know who James Fry is. And back in 2006, James Fry was the author of a book called A Million Little Pieces. And when this book came out, everyone read it, including me, including Joe. You know, and the popularity of that book was all predicated on the fact that Oprah signed off on it. She had like a book club recommendation thing, and she said everybody should go read this, and it brought a shit ton of awareness to that, thanks to Oprah using her giant platform. So what we
about did, like being addicted to heroin or something, right? Like, was it heroin addiction?
I think it was alcohol, because I remember the end of the book. So he goes to a bar and has the bartender pour a pint glass full of whiskey and put it down right in front of him. And he's just like, and I had the willpower to just turn around and not even drink it. So I think it was alcoholism.
Yeah. It was, it was this like overcoming addiction book. Right. And positioned as a true story. Right.
Right.
Like, this was his biography of his addiction and overcoming addiction.
Correct. So,
and also it was short, which is why Andy and I read it. We were on vacation. We were on a beach and we were like, I read this. It took me half a day. And he was like, all right, I'll read it.
Okay. Right. So you're kind of covering it there. What we didn't know, and Oprah didn't know, was that James made up a great deal of this book, and it's advertised as autobiographical. And it's about James being successfully recovered alcoholic and everything he went through in rehab. It memorably includes a chapter where he undergoes dental work with no anesthesia, because he didn't want to relapse while in recovery. But it turns out that there was a lot of bullshit padding this book, and an investigative reporter uncovered the fact, and now Oprah's integrity is called into question. And this demands an apology from James to Oprah. It demands an apology from James to Oprah's viewership. And it demands an apology from Oprah to her fans.
For the years, I've always tried to maintain a position of non-judgment and being able to find the thread of light, a way in to see that person as a human being and look at them with some sense of compassion. And I did not do that, James Fry.
Right. Now, so this is an all apologies episode about Oprah. So I don't have an apology from James Fry, but Oprah is not mad. She's just disappointed, but also mad. She trucks this guy out in front of a million little viewers, wink, and makes him apologize for trying to find an angle to get noticed in an ocean, like a bottomless pit of authors that are trying to get noticed. You know, this guy just made his book more interesting by embellishing what he went through. And also, go ahead.
Pre-social media, right? Like, it wasn't like you could like self-publish and get a lot of media attention on a small book like this. Like, you had to, you know, rise above to get any type of publicity for your work at this time.
Right. And the problem was that he said it was nonfiction and it was made up.
So Andy, the part where he like kicks in the door of the crack house and rescues like his rehab girlfriend from her relapse, where he like fights 10 crackheads to get her out of the crack house, that wasn't real?
And he says, I have a certain set of skills. You don't want to fuck with me.
He's the Liam Neeson of crack houses.
Did that happen in the book, or are you just making that up?
It did happen in the book. It, like, there's like some crack house that he like goes find. He finds this girl that he, you know, had this kind of relationship with in rehab.
Oh, right. And then a bunch of pigeons fly out like a John Woo movie, and everything.
Somebody's flipping birds at the crack
house. Yeah, yeah. And suddenly the story is more interesting. That's all this guy did. He just made his story more interesting. But now, years removed, Oprah is a kinder, gentler, slimmer? I don't know. Oprah. And she regrets the way that she handled this in clip two.
I don't know what is true, and I don't know what isn't. So first of all, I wanted to start with the smoking gun report, titled The Man Who Conned Oprah. And I want to know, were they right?
I think most of what they wrote was pretty accurate. Absolutely.
I think that was pretty accurate. So this now becomes an instance of someone demanding an apology from themselves, Joe. That Oprah is embarrassed by her behavior about the way that she treated a guy who took advantage of her and her platform. And
her inner Sebastian Maniscalco is going, aren't you embarrassed? And everyone's like,
she's mid, bro. Yeah.
Clip three, Ed.
You know, I feel, and particularly in watching it for the first time last night, I feel that I was in the midst of also being attacked for my perception of being, of saying the truth doesn't matter. And as I watched the tape last night, on three occasions, I said, I'm so embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed.
Right. So this is all to say that Oprah flogged him publicly because her ego was bruised. That's her explanation for this. Mm-hmm. In clip four.
What I now know is that whenever you're in the position to be embarrassed, that really is your ego. It was your ego on the line. And so I felt that I had been attacked and therefore had to defend myself.
She's a whole lot of woman with a whole lot of ego, Joe. I think she keeps her ego in her ass there. Did you see that ass falling out of that chair?
No, I was throwing up in a bucket.
But Oprah's going to be the bigger person, obviously. The richer person. Yeah, she's going to be the richer person, the person that needs the most recognition, and she's going to take the moral high ground and apologize to James in clip five.
And what I realized when I look at that tape now, and what I realized in the shower that morning, it just came as clear as, you know, as if it were being spoken to me, is that what people saw was my lack of compassion. So I apologize for my lack of compassion.
Cue single tear roll. Yes. Down Oprah's cheek.
Some production assistant ran in and dabbed that on right before that.
Spitballed a drop onto her face.
So she probably ruined this guy's career. And maybe what little success he had was stripped away because he was certainly dropped by his publisher after this all came out. But at least Oprah could sleep easy tonight knowing that she apologized for calling out a fraud on national television.
I apologize. Real quick. She
didn't do her due diligence on this guy. She's supposed to be like this hard hitting journalist.
Or at and, least her team is.
Oh, okay. All right. So with that, I just want to like also say that she looks like fucking Sid from Ice Age. I mean, can we talk about this just for 1 second? Look how far her eyes are apart. She's a mess.
Yeah, it's funny that because Patrick Michael famously said that Carl looks like Sid from Ice Age 2. So maybe Carl is Oprah's illegitimate son. But all that is to say that Oprah isn't necessarily the car gifting, benevolent, oracle looking type of personality that some people might associate her with. She does have the capacity to ruin a guy's career on national television. And with that being said, I want to turn it over to Joe because this isn't so much an episode about Oprah as it is about comedian Monique. Right, Joe?
Right. So when... Right. I told Andy to put out the social media post on it, so it's at least in our universe. But I was like, well, we have to do this. And I didn't realize the depths that it was going to go. But we obviously knew about the James Frey apology tour or fiasco that was. So we wanted to cover Oprah in that way. But the real reason we decided to do this and at least make Oprah the topic was because Monique went on Shannon Sharpe's Club Shay Shay show, and she started her whole routine, which I didn't realize this is a routine that she's been doing for a long, long time, but she went on and was demanding apologies from Oprah.
This is Monique's squeegee bit.
Yeah, right. So if you don't know Monique, Monique was a stand-up comedian, and she was on a show called The Parkers, and she's been in some movies. She won Best Supporting Actress Oscar at one point. But here's a couple of my favorite performances from Monique. She famously killed Landfill in Beer Fest, Ed. And then you've heard Andy and I also reference her racial flowchart in Domino, where she breaks down multiracial ethnicities.
Chi Negro, right here. That's you. Chi Negro.
A word.
You're Chi Negro. Yes, it is. We have Korea Gro, Depigro. Okay? You got Depigro. Hispanic, Korea Hispanic, and last but not least, check this out, y'all. Japanic.
So great bits. That is to say, Monique's been acting for a long time. The Parkers was like 5 years. I turned on the Parkers just because I was like in Monique world, and I watched the Parkers. It sucks. I started watching 227 instead. And then, so we're highlighting the movies that I like that Monique has been in, but the whole thrust of this whole breakdown comes from her winning her Best Supporting Oscar for Precious, based on the novel Sapphire, or Push by Sapphire, as it was referred to ad nauseum at the time, so much so that I wanted to kill myself and never fucking watched it. I would never know if Monique was good in that movie at all, because it was the whole campaign around it was super annoying, which is odd to say, because a lot of what the whole thing kind of breaks down because Monique didn't want to do extra work on top of her performance, or she may have felt like that was beyond her call, you know, to, you know, duty or something like that. She's her call of duty. But anyway, so
she called in her strike in on me and called duty once.
Exactly. So let's get into, let's tease this a little bit more. Here's Monique in a YouTube channel called Comedy Hype. They interviewed her before she did Club Shay Shay. And I'm only going to show this because the script here is repetitive. Clip one, Ed.
Until that woman says, let me apologize to you publicly, it'll be to the day I leave this earth. Because what you did was malicious, and it was intentional, and it was ugly.
Right. So that woman is Oprah. Okay. Right. So all this goes back to when Precious won an Oscar, and Monique hasn't shut up about this since 2009. Okay. Precious came out in 2009. All right. So this whole confrontation is at minimum 14 years old. Okay. So she's been on this shit for 15 years, basically. In this next clip, Monique is talking this. She's going to take this shit to the streets.
When I speak about Oprah Winfrey, I speak about that woman because she's spoken about me. And when you begin to speak about me privately, I'm going to speak about you publicly.
Once again, keep in mind that this has been building for over a decade, okay? Like, this is recent. The interview with Shannon Sharpe here is very recent, okay? Shannon Sharpe has this quote-unquote hot new show, but featuring people like Cat Williams and Monique, and these are kind of old stories within the Black community as far as I can tell. And Shannon is just stirring the shit back up. And, you know, whatever, good for him. Or giving a platform to people that he thinks need a platform or something like that. You know, I like Shannon Sharpe as, you know, on Undisputed with Skip Bayless, his NFL commentary. I like Shannon Sharpe, okay? And I think these things are good. So I don't have anything bad to say about him. Usually these things devolve into us hating the interviewer more than we hate, you know, the offender. But that's not the case here.
Not Shannon Sharpe and not Pat McAfee. But is Monique cosplaying as Oprah in this clip?
Well, there's some of that too, right? As far as these people, they're rivals in a way. Like, they should kind of be friends, but it's one of those scenarios where we're too alike almost.
We're not so different, you and I, Oprah.
Yeah.
Arch villain.
I don't know where. There's certain things that really started to bother me after a while, especially with how long this has been going on. This isn't anything I wrote down or whatever, but I've kind of been ruminating on this for a minute. And Monique is like from like the shittiest part of Baltimore. Okay, so she's somebody,
the Jada Pinkett part of Baltimore.
Yeah, right. The Wire part of Baltimore is where she's from. And so I think that's maybe the two sides of the coin. The Harvey Dent, Oprah's the polished DA side of Harvey Dent, and Monique is the burned up piece of shit side of Harvey Dent. But that is definitely part of it. Is like there's only so much food on the plate for large Black women, and they're fighting each other for their share. Monique tried to do this the right way first.
Okay. But I tried to be respectful. I tried to call you first. When she had my family on her show, I tried to call you first. I tried to talk to you privately, but then you became the great, mighty Oprah Winfrey, and you were too busy to talk. Well, now I'm going to talk about it.
Yeah. So this is the equivalent of a kid saying, "Mom, mom, mom, mom," before devolving into a public temper tantrum and then saying, "Well, I tried to calmly get your attention first. Okay, well, mom was busy," or, you know, "We know what you want and we simply don't give a shit, but, you know, she won't accept that."
Everybody is wondering, including me, because I watched your clips, but I didn't do a lot of the homework on this, and because I know you did. What did Oprah do to Monique that she's so pissed off about?
Okay, well, yeah, we're going to get to, I think, is that here? Yeah, I'm slow rolling you up. So some of it has to do with the way Precious was handled, because Oprah was one of the producers. Tyler Perry and Oprah were producers on Precious, and Monique feels like she was slighted in that whole professional capacity, and we'll get into a little bit more of that going forward here. But she also, Oprah also did a show on the heels of Precious about Monique, and we're going to get into that more here. I'm slow rolling you a little bit, but in the next two clips here, we're going to find out more. Now, Monique comes off as annoying, but that doesn't make her wrong.
This woman has overstepped with me so in so many ways that somebody would say, if we wasn't Monique and Oprah Winfrey in the entertainment business, and we was Monique and Oprah Winfrey that worked at Costco, I see you in the break room. I see you at your cash register, because she's overstepped.
Okay. Right. So everything we're about to get into here. Now, I don't believe that Monique is lying about everything we're about to talk about here at all. Okay. There may be a misunderstanding, a miscommunication, an overreaction, but I do believe everything that she says here. And part of the problem is that Monique believes that the truth is an infallible weapon in her, like in her quiver. Okay. So what is this all about? Clip 5.
And she said, "I got a call from your brother." And this is after I won the Oscar award, mm-hmm. right? "And your brother wants to come on the show, and he wants to apologize to you for molesting you. And he wants to tell other people how to look out for a predator."
Right.
Right. So Monique's brother is the Frank Abagnale of sex offenders. He's now working with the good guys to take down other chomos, because we all know it takes a chomo to catch a chomo. Thank you, Oprah.
Juicy.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mean that. I meant this.
Chomo.
So Oprah says she's going to have the brother that molested Monique on, and it turns into her having Monique's entire family on, and Monique does not get along with her family. And so Oprah called Monique and said, hey, can I have your child molester brother on? And she's like, yeah, you know, I haven't talked to him in years. Maybe he's changed. If he's trying to like raise awareness on chomos, maybe that's good for everybody. You can have him. But Oprah never said, I'm going to have your parents on, your mother. And Monique would have said, no, I don't want you to have my mom on, because she's a money grubbing piece of shit. So that's what it really boils down to.
Let me ask this. Is that a findable episode of television of Monique on Oprah Winfrey with her brother that molested her?
Monique's family on Oprah Winfrey.
Monique was not there for it.
No.
But I mean, if Oprah was trying to earn a dollar by having my awful family on after we were supposedly business associates producing precious, that's pretty fucked up of Oprah.
It's fucked up.
We're like, right. We're going to have this is Monique's brother who molested her and air all that dirty laundry on daytime television. That's fucked
after
up.
She just won the fucking Oscar
for Beer Fest.
Yes. Her performance as the spy in Beer Fest. Yeah, no, but all right on the heels. And Oprah was part of the production company that was distributing Precious. Like, it was all like part of it.
Yeah, so like your life story, your fucked up life story is now part of my, you know, I own it somehow.
Yeah, right, exactly.
What gives her the right to put that story out there?
This is why, you know, like before you speak with Monique, if you just hear it like this, you're on Monique's side, right? In this next clip that I called Betrayal, this is in the wake of the interview.
But you betrayed me, sister, and I'm not the only one.
Because at the time when she called you, she said it was just your brother.
Just my brother. And when my mother was on that show, do you know what I had to deal with, Shannon?
What's that?
I would be in the store, and I would have elderly women coming up to me. And they would say, your mama ain't shit.
Wow.
Now, they wasn't lying, Shannon, okay? They wasn't lying, baby. Sometimes you got to let the truth be the goddamn truth.
Next thing you know, they breaking you off some goddamn disrespect. Motherfucker.
So this actually speaks more toward what lies beneath the surface of this feud, right? It's not about truth. It's about respect. And the funny thing is that Monique thinks she's running around with the sword of truth, like I said, but she's forgetting the point made here that no one cares about the truth, especially when it's coming out of the mouth of an asshole. Okay. Right. So if you're going to like talk endless shit, it doesn't matter if you're right, because you're being insufferable and nobody wants to be around you. Yeah. All right. So that's where this lies, is like, Oprah has the power, and just because you yell louder doesn't mean you're going to get your way. But Monique thinks that the truth will set her free. Okay.
She's just mad because when people run into her in the store, they're not like, loved you and Precious. They're like, sorry about your mom and your brother. Yeah. That's what she's really mad about.
Maybe to sharpen the point of this, I was talking to my wife about it, and I said, well, we're doing Oprah, but it's more about her feud with Monique. And my wife goes, who's Monique? And like, that's the problem right there.
It's Monique's problem.
You're taking on giants, right? And you're not that level. But we were talking about this before. Just like, you won an Oscar. That doesn't mean you're like, You've won an Oscar every year after this. I mean, ask Jamie Foxx about his projects after Ray, right? It was like, what's he doing now? It's not like he's in Oscar caliber shit and demanding, you know, top tier salaries. He was in the fucking one of the worst Spider-Man movies that was shot in Rochester. So Monique seems to think that, well, I won an Oscar and now I'm Oscar winner Monique, and that's how everyone views me from now on. No, that's not really how this works. So I heard this and I went, what the fuck? In the next clip, I was like, what the fuck is this?
Now, there's a white woman named Barbara Walters. Mm-hmm. They called her first. And she said, Monique, I told your family, I can't do that to you.
What do you think about that, Andy?
there's this cracker that you might have heard of named Barbara Walters. Like, I don't know who that is.
Right. Like, Shannon Sharp never heard of fucking Barbara Walters.
Far more famous than Monique.
Yeah. And this is why Monique is a fuck up, because I might be on her side, but she's like, Whitey don't get it. This is for the black community. You're like, I understand pay disparity and people in a position of power exploiting labor, but you flipped a bitch and made a race and made this racial instead of universal. And it turns me off. And make it about human rights and not about black rights. You fucked up.
Well, you're right. And I know there's another clip coming up with somebody else that has that same kind of mentality, and we'll get there. But instead of making this about turning some shine into a better career opportunity, you think that it's elevated you to a place that you're going to stay at. It's like building a muscle. Your career is you have to keep building and exercising on that. You don't just win an Oscar and then you don't have to audition anymore. You don't have to make good business decisions beyond that. The door is just not wide open for you now. And this is an actor thing, not a race thing. It's for all actors.
You don't even know how right you are with that. Okay. So in this next clip is that I called Determined, because of Monique. Is this just sour grapes?
I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter.
You just want what's right.
You're just determined.
Right.
Not life is too good to be bitter, but we're determined for you to take accountability.
Right.
Accountability, Andy. I think Monique is suffering from an overinflated sense of self. Okay, just because you aren't afraid to take
she really on... looks like she's overinflated.
Just because you aren't afraid to take on Oprah and Tyler Perry doesn't mean you should. Just because you are in the right doesn't mean you can pop off at whoever and whenever you choose. Your strategy is bad. You want to fuck up Oprah? Pit her against Trump. You know, side with Fox News. If you want to win the war against Oprah, you may have to side with allies you normally wouldn't. She's playing 1D checkers against a brick wall. It's just stupid. Her strategy is bad. God, I watched her stand up. That was the other part. Like, she's taking on all these juggernauts. But once again, not wrong. Except maybe she is wrong, because I watched, like, she came out against Netflix because they offered her $500,000 for a stand-up special when they were giving Dave Chappelle millions, or they're giving Amy Schumer millions, or they're giving somebody else millions of dollars. And I think she sued them and won, or they settled out of court, and then she did do a special for Netflix. I just watched it the other night. It sucked ass. It was not funny. I was also like, is this me? Do I not get it? Is this for the black community? And I just don't get it. But then I watched Lunell's half hour and I'm like, this is incredible. So I'm like, it's not me. There's ways for you to be black and funny and for me to still be able to get with it and still like it. She was not hitting that. All right. And that was her moment. This was just last year. Like, it came out last year. Like, she's been fighting this the whole time. She's like, after you watch this special, you'll understand why this. And she's just like, you know, white knights. And she's just like, I'm with the gay community. I support, you know, the mentally challenged. I support, you know, the trans community and all this. And none of it is, it's all just the most sanctimonious fucking annoying shit The rule number one, oh, you're a comedian. Rule number one, be funny. And it wasn't.
Well, that's a good point. But to her point, what did Lou Nell get for that half hour? You know, how much did she get paid for that? Probably not a lot, right?
Because you know what? Lou Nell knows that she's where she makes her money and where her fan base is fucking touring and on the road and doing the fucking work. Right. And well, when they say you got to get on a fucking plane and go do that shit, Lunell says, I know, because I fucking know how to make money and I know the grind and I know what it fucking takes. And they don't say, I want a fucking Oscar, so I don't have to do that shit anymore.
Right. And it's just Monique is ruining her own brand by behaving this way, because just because Dave Chappelle is chocolate ice cream and it's selling like hotcakes and everybody wants to be in the chocolate ice cream business, you're Monique, you're rum raisin. It's you're not on that level. There's not that demand for you, and being hard to work with isn't going to improve your situation.
Right. But
that's just my take on that.
Right. You know what? You know what doesn't make the rum raisin more appealing? That it's fucking frozen solid and hard to scoop.
Yeah, no, it's hard to open.
Monique starts going in on the color, the recently released Color Purple, right? They made, so Oprah was in the Color Purple, right? The Steven Spielberg movie. Then they made a musical out of it, a stage production. And now Oprah produced a new Color Purple starring Taraji Henson and Fantasia from American Idol. And a lot of other, you know, big black actors in the community. And they were all in this movie. And it, surprise, it was a dog shit piece of failure. But the bad press about the production started bringing up questions of how powerful Oprah is.
So when Oprah does the one-on-one with Taraji and she begins to run down her credits, the great Taraji P. Henson, then why ever would you allow the audition to happen? Hmm? Why ever would you allow that? Why wouldn't you go to that studio and say,
she
doesn't have to, I handpicked them. So either our sister's not as powerful as we believe she is, or either there's not the concern that she tries to make it look like it is.
What Jennifer Hudson is also auditioning, but maybe a better singer than Taraji Jim Henson or whatever the fuck.
Right.
A puppet so, Taraji Jim Henson.
So this movie came out from Harpo Studios, like Oprah started a movie production company. Nobody's more invested in making sure this movie's good than fucking Oprah. Okay. So when Taraji Henson started asking for things that were not right, you know, kind of, this is the thing where where we start talking about how Monique's not really wrong, but also a peek into her mentality. Oh, well, I'm Monique. I want an Oscar. I don't have to audition anymore. Taraji P. Henson, who is so good on Empire and what's the fucking NASA movie with the
Hidden Figures.
Hidden Figures. But, you know, she was so great in these movies. She doesn't have to. We all know how good she is. She shouldn't have to audition anymore. I'm done auditioning. I'm Monique. I don't need to audition anymore. Wrong. But to
my earlier point, Taraji Henson is that same mentality. She also had this, I've paid my dues. I don't have to pay any more dues. I'm the shit. A really difficult person to work with. So they're probably rubbing off on each other, those two.
In a way, but excuse me.
Monique ate her.
They're also not wrong. But to finish up on this point, she's going in on her about this Color Purple stuff. And it's just like, they gave us rental cars and we had to drive ourselves. And then the craft service wasn't as good. And we all had to share trailers. And then, so Taraji had to go to Oprah and be like, this is fucked up. Well, please fix it. And then Oprah fixed it like immediately. But they were trying, essentially they were saying what Monique says is the second you auditioned, you let them know that you don't respect yourself the way you should, and they'll try and get away with shortchanging you in any way that they can. And I think the thing that really bothers Monique about it is that she thinks that that should not be coming from Oprah, because Oprah is black and these people are black and these people had to, like, if this was coming from a white man, it would be understandable. A white man's going to try and fuck you over, but this is Oprah trying to fuck us over. So that's fucked up. But this whole thing, like, Monique is just trying to make this all about the black community. And that's, even in this interview,
I was just going to say that, Joe, it's instead of it being about business people doing business, it's about the community and the struggle. Yep. And it's business.
Yep.
And you made a bad deal.
Yep. Monique. Yep. If you got paid $50,000 to do Precious and you didn't get any, and you didn't get everything you wanted up front and you didn't have a back end deal, that's your fucking problem. Okay. Not anything else. It has nothing to do with anyone else. Okay. You did that.
You don't know. You didn't know that it was going to be a successful movie. Exactly. You made that deal because it was a nothing movie.
Right. Because you're only as good as your last project. Right. Yeah. You make your money after Precious, not right. because of Precious.
And okay? the only reason she has any kind of legitimacy is because of Lee Daniels and Shadowboxer and Precious. That's right. Why Monique has any kind of credit. That's not, look at that overweight clown. It, you know, she's kind of funny, isn't she? Let's make sure that she auditions, because all I know is that she was in Beer Fest for two scenes. Right. You know, it's all because of Precious, and you were an unproven entity when that hit.
Yeah, and I don't really understand this, especially since she's a stand-up, or maybe she didn't tour, maybe she didn't do a lot of touring as a stand-up, but Ed put it in the chat here, like, it's just like every record deal, or like, your favorite bands aren't rich entertainers because of the records that they put out, because most of that's just going to get pirated anyway. It's not the content that earns you the money, it's the touring and the ticket sales and the fucking merch and everything that goes along with it that is where the money actually lies. The money lies in the work, not in the last thing you put out. So Monique seems to be not grasping that, is what maybe she does, you know, like, I really don't know where she falls in this, but let's keep going here. In this next clip, Monique chose not to do press for Precious. So she wins the award, and then Precious is going around to, like, Cannes, like, over in France. You know, it won its awards here, and now it's going around globally, and they're like, Monique, we want you to go do press for Precious over in France. And Monique is like, well, I got, like, this talk show or something that I'm doing. I have this comedy thing that I'm doing. And I'm on my third marriage. And we're going through these family things right now. And I just don't really have time to go do that. Okay. You're making your choice then. So Monique chose not to do press for Precious. And in this clip, Oprah says she understands.
Oprah Winfrey calls my husband. She says, there have been times I've had to draw the line in the sand. So my husband said, well, what is different between you and Monique? You've got to draw the line in your sand when you know they're asking you for too much. She said, you're absolutely right. And I understand your position. And that when she was talking to him, mm-hmm. in that room was a man named Reggie Wells, who just passed. Reggie Wells said, Monique, I was there that day. He said, and when y'all got off the phone, I looked at her and said, why don't you just pay this woman the money? She deserves it. And she looked at him and said, I won't be paying her nothing.
Real gangster.
Oprah's like, fuck that bitch. It's such a tragedy that the one guy that could corroborate Monique's fucking statement died.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure Tom Arnold has the transcript of that. But again, it's business yeah. to Oprah. She doesn't care that you're her doppelganger and you think she's gatekeeping. You don't want to go do press. You're not getting paid. That's what it is.
Right.
That's business.
Right. Oprah is like, fuck this bitch. Just because someone understands your position doesn't mean they're on your side. There's consequences. You chose not to participate. Oprah chooses to stop working with people that won't play ball. This is not complicated. I was like, it's like you get fucking pulled over by the police. They're like, oh, what? She ran her mouth and you hit her. I get it. You know, my wife runs her mouth all the time. I want to smack her in the face. I understand, dude. So just confess. All right. I understand. This could happen to anybody. This could happen to you. It could happen to me. These people, the yap. It just gets on your nerves. You haul off and hit them in the mouth, right?
Did it.
I understand.
You're under arrest.
You're under arrest. Right. We will no longer be working with you. I understand. You have to. That's what she did. Actually, Oprah could not have been more clear there. Like, but I don't know why. Monique is just like, oh, well, if you understand, then you're going to give me a pass. No, I just understand why you wouldn't do it. It doesn't make this. It doesn't solve the problem. I just understand why you don't want to. It doesn't fucking help. Mm-hmm. So in this next clip, I hate Monique in this clip. Here comes the actress. Like, this is what I hope maybe after looking at these so far, you can see this is a performance. That she's an actress and she's an Oscar winning actress. In this clip, nothing. I could not stand this clip.
Mo, what would it take for Monique to forgive Oprah and Tyler Perry?
Be accountable. Be accountable.
And you want Tyler Perry to say what he said on that tape, you want him to say that publicly.
And he cost my family millions.
And you want to be compensated.
Yes. I want to be very clear about that.
Monique feels like, I don't know if there was a back-end deal. I don't know how this all worked out, but because she didn't want to do the press for it, she was labeled as difficult to work with and essentially blackballed. And she said that behind closed doors, obviously, Lee Daniels was the director of Precious, and he went on to be, you know, to direct famous other projects, Empire with Taraji P. Henson, I think, and some other, you know, acclaimed content, The Butler, which Oprah was in. So instead of using Monique, they're going to use Oprah because they're the fucking same, basically. Yeah. So, but there also, shocker, it's all about the money that she lost, her perceived losses. So
at millions, one point, millions, I'm sure it's millions of dollars.
Definitely. She's lost millions, right? She set up the Lee Daniels stuff here, Andy.
I feel the more I'm hearing about her, the more I'm realizing that they probably just cast her to play herself in Precious because she seems like a real asshole. But years later, this is them reuniting on stage in front of a large audience. I don't know if it's like a viewing of Precious or something, but Monique and Lee Daniels are both there.
I love you, you bitch! I love you! Bitch, I love you more! Is this an April Fool's? Please tell me you know what motherfucking April Fool's. This is so goddamn real. This is so motherfucking real, shape.
You hear somebody yell out, that's Precious. No, it's Monique. She's just the size of Precious. But everybody's in the audience is acting like it's a 10 p.m. showing of Get Out. Everybody's carrying on. But this is them reuniting after she's been blackballed and kind of burying the hatchet. And clip two is an apology from Lee Daniels.
Let me tell you. Sometimes in life, you get caught up, you know? When you a nigga and you come from nothing, you get blinded by some shit. And it took me a long time to realize. I am so sorry hurting you in any way
that
I do.
He doesn't even know what he did.
Maybe this would have been suited more for the end where people are kind of coming to terms with what Monique's been saying for 14 years, but he's just owning up to his involvement and her being blackballed, I feel like, and that's them bearing the hatchet live on stage in front of anybody and everybody at Kempire Pop Culture Fest.
I'll tell you why. No, that's exactly where it should go, because now we're going to dip into Tyler Perry's side a little bit, just to show you a little bit more about how Monique kind of conducts herself behind the scenes with this. Now, once again, I don't know, this all may be warranted. I just want to I don't want to be like team Oprah or team Monique in this at all, but all I can really look at this and say is like, Monique is just like hard to fucking handle. Okay. But what we just watched there is what Monique wants from everyone. And it's all that she wants. Okay. So in my clip 12 here, why one-on-one? Here's a new facet to this controversy.
Why do you think Tyler is afraid to meet with you and your husband? Why does it need to be you one-on-one?
Yeah, I wouldn't say afraid is the word. Let's see why in this next package, nobody wants to work with Monique's husband. Okay, here's clip 13.
I'm going to call and find out whatever money is coming in for the purchase, and I'm going to send that to you. I'm going to send it over to you. Whatever it is, I'm going to send it to you. I'm going to write you a check, Monique. Seriously, not one day is that you were mistreated or that you were treated unfairly. Now, if that means that's what I need to do, then you do that. You do that. You take that and take it from a place of love.
Okay. So I don't think I didn't set that up fully here. So this is recently released audio of a phone call that Monique and her husband privately recorded without Tyler Perry knowing. They recorded the conversation between the two of them. And
so voice this is Tyler Perry's voice, though.
That is the voice of Tyler Perry there. Right. And
it's not like Precious is in syndication and like on HBO nonstop, and there's all these royalties that she's owed. Is that what they think?
Exactly. So this was set up as like a gotcha moment, but I don't hear like Tyler Perry going, "Oh, we fucked you over, and we told everybody that you suck, and that you're hard to work with, and we blackballed you in the community and in Hollywood because of the way that's never said. Okay, what he says there is, if we're gonna keep going fucking round and round with this, I will give you." So Tyler Perry says, "If you feel like you were not compensated appropriately for Precious, I will give you all the money coming in from Precious." Yes. You know why? Because that movie is bullshit. It made no money. It makes no money. It has no following. It has no DVD sales. There's no streaming platform that cares about it. It has no following. It was a moment, and it's over. Like your career.
Yeah.
He does not give a fuck about this.
Yeah.
And even we're not even going to get to it. He's just like, I don't know. It's like 15 minutes. He's like exasperated at the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's just like, I have my kid wants a grilled cheese. I got to go.
Yeah. I'll send you the $2.65 Precious made this month.
Yeah. Nobody gives a fuck about it. So the problem was, here's a straight question getting a straight answer from Monique's husband to Tyler Perry.
What did you experience with Monique and or I that made your interaction with us displeasurable?
What made my interaction displeasurable is to have to try to navigate between Precious, Lee, Monique not wanting to do any national press without getting paid, having to navigate through all of that. That's where my problem was.
You're a pain in the ass, is right. What he's saying.
Right. So I think there's a gray area here we aren't getting, right? Monique claims she was just so busy and her family was a priority and just a billion excuses why she wouldn't, quote unquote, work for free. The other side of that is that I suspect to be true is that they aren't paying you, but they are flying you to France. They're paying for your accommodations and food and wardrobe and transportation and all the other benefits that are going to come along with it. They're just not giving you a check that says Monique on it. So all of this to say, fuck you, Monique. Fuck. Mm-hmm. Like, because here's the other part. I worked in the news for a minute, right? And what we would do is we'd tune in a satellite, and there would be a Monique sitting on the other end of the satellite. And on her side, the news reporter, the interviewer, just flips, just keeps going, like, next guy, interviewing her. All you have to do is sit in this chair, and multiple people will ask you the same fucking question over and over again, and all you have to do is answer those questions, be charismatic, and promote the fucking movie. There's really not too much to it. So we can fly you to France on our dime for you to fucking have a great vacation. We're just not going to fucking pay you. Or you can come sit in a chair and do satellite interviews, and we're not going to fucking pay you, because it's all about you pumping up this movie and you getting a good paycheck for your next project. That's how I feel about that.
I mean, that's how the industry works. It's the same. Right. Like, we put on this show, and then I have to go and do all the stuff that on Instagram to try and drive people's awareness of it.
No, Monique's sprinting.
We're making any money on any of it.
Yeah. Monique's sprinting, not running a marathon. She's not doing any of that.
I think she's power walking. She's not even power walking. She's waddling a marathon.
So in clip 15, let's get hypothetical.
If somebody had come along and said, Tyler's difficult, he's terrible to work with, he's not going to do anything that you want him to do, he is, if they said all those things, right, if that's what the rumor was, I would want those people to stand up and say that's not true.
So will you and Oprah do that?
So that's Tyler Perry saying, if I did that, I would want somebody to stand up and say, you know, that was wrong. And he's saying, so will you do it? And he's going, no, because I didn't say that.
Yeah.
I said she wouldn't do press for free, which she wouldn't.
Right.
So in Monique's eyes, they poisoned her well. On the other hand, the way I see it, this is the truth coming back to bite Monique in her ass. She is difficult to work with. She won't do press without a check. You know, it's true. So why can't we say it? You can run around and say everything. You know, you go on Shannon Sharpe show and Club Hype and freaking whatever other platform, Netflix, and talk about what a piece of shit everybody is, because it's true to you. But if we say she won't do press and she's hard to work with, that, oh my God. No.
You cost me millions. You right. Cost me millions.
Right. I guess it's back to the Parker's reunion, season 6. So it's you think. So this is where we get into. Now there's Oprah comes back into the picture here. So back to our main story. Some star fucker threw a party for previous Oscar winners to celebrate newly anointed Oscar winners. And Monique and Oprah run into each other. So this is a little bit about that and encounter.
For Oprah Winfrey, you owe me an apology. You don't tell me you already had my mother and my father on your show. And you think that that's just okay. And the way you try to apologize in front of a group of women, if you think I've done anything wrong,
No.
You're going to stop that.
Right.
Yeah. So Oprah did apologize publicly in front of other people.
I have audio of it.
Mm. I'm just sorry for being a freaking idiot.
So Oprah apologized, but not to Monique's satisfaction, Andy. So let's go back to she kind of goes a little bit deeper into it on that Comedy Hype interview that we started with. So for more on this, let's go back to the Comedy Hype interview.
I won't call her a coward. I'll say it was cowardly, but it was okay. And she said, if you think I did something wrong, I want to apologize. And what my husband taught me a long time ago, an apology is not something that you think you need to give. If somebody else thinks you need to give it, it's what you feel.
Yeah. So that's her Ike Turner sitting next to her. And he apparently always, like he always apparently does, sitting there, filling her head, holding his tongue, waiting to involve himself somehow. But yeah, apology from Oprah in front of a bunch of Hollywood elites, not good enough, which is why Oprah has wiped her hands of Monique, in my opinion. She's just like, I did this shit. You're still on about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How much bending over does Oprah need to do when she really doesn't need to or have to do that? She'd be fine if she never saw you again. So I if you think she's going to apologize more than twice, then you're for a rude awakening.
Yeah, exactly. So one more from Comedy Hype here.
So she came off like Mother Earth that she is. If you think I did something wrong. No, Oprah, it ain't what I think. You did do something wrong. You maliciously, and you had full intentions of having my parents on your show and not saying anything to me. Was that for ratings?
Yeah. So this is why I said before that I don't think Monique is lying about any of it. Like, I do think like she has every right to be upset about that whole situation. But I also think that anybody who was going to address it has addressed it in whatever way they're going to address it. And for you to, like, you're just screaming into the fucking void now.
Yeah.
Because Oprah is not going to hear it anymore.
She was trying to get in touch with Tyler Perry.
I kept screeching and screeching at him.
Right. Yeah.
But he still wouldn't apologize.
Right. And this whole, like, help me out because we're both black strategy is not working anymore, if it was ever working. Let's go back to Club Shay Shay. This is all apologies. So Shannon preaches on what apologies are all about.
If somebody's wrong, we have to be man or woman enough to say they're wrong, regardless of what comes along with that.
They don't know. They don't understand what them saying I'm sorry will mean for them. See, when I read the
because that's day, not for you, and I'm sorry, it's not for the person that you offended. It's for you because currently you're in hostage. Your feelings, because you have to live with that.
You got to live with that.
What you've done.
So when you see a woman say, "Me turning 70, I'm so happy because I've never hurt anyone." Stop it.
Yeah. So Monique is just still letting Oprah live rent free in her head, take her lunch money, eat said lunch, and shit on her carpet. You know, in Monique's eyes, that is what's been happening for 15 years. Newsflash, no one gives a fuck. It's a funny story to hear. It's not going to get you anywhere.
Yeah. Pretty soon, everybody's just going to be like, Precious, but what? What is that? I don't even know. Who are you? What is that? Nobody cares.
Right.
Old exactly. Fucking news.
Right. So here, Monique's going to give us her final thoughts on the topic here.
Oprah and Tyler, I want to say I appreciate my brother Shannon Shaw for saying what he just said, and I want to clear something up. I'm not hurt personally. I'm hurt for our community.
Yeah. This is the biggest fucking pile of horseshit I've ever heard. Just because the word show comes before the word business in the term show business doesn't not make it the more important part. The business of movie making and entertainment is the real matter, not your race, not your gender, not your community, and especially not your friendship or childhood heroes, because she likes to tell this story about how when she was a little girl in Baltimore, she went to see Oprah Winfrey do her show, you know, and she was just like, I'm going to be just like you when I grow up, Oprah, and never meet your heroes, apparently. But we just covered the Fyre Fest and how the promotion of it is what carried that whole project into fruition. The fest part, much like Precious, was an atrocious spectacle that most people don't fucking care about, but the promotion was integral, and Monique didn't want to promote. So you made your bed, lie in it. That's it.
Yeah.
As always, when we're dealing with a topic in the black community, I wanted to get Joe Budden to weigh in on it. So let's have Joe Budden take us home here.
She looks hard to work with.
You said what?
I didn't hear you. Say it again.
We telling the truth.
Yeah, I'm telling you. She does look hard to work with.
Why?
She just did a 3-hour interview shitting on a bunch of people she worked with. So, I mean, there's some validity to that.
Oh, come on. No, no.
They go in more on it, and it's definitely worth watching. So watch Joe Budden's full take on that whole topic, because it's great.
She looks hard to work with and looks hard to look at.
It's work looking at her, and she looks hard to work with.
Yeah,
but so performative. Yeah, but it's just like I struggled my whole life. I was part of the struggle. I am the struggle. I'm the living embodiment of the struggle, and I'm the living embodiment of the Black community and the Black struggle. And, you know, if we're not lifting each other up, then we're lifting nobody up. And if we can't succeed together, then we can't succeed at all. And it's just such a fucking, it's just such a pile of shit.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't, like, at one point she wants me to listen to her talk about the struggle, and in the next breath in her fucking comedy special, she's just like, my house staff, my butler and my fucking waiters and my housekeepers and everything are all down here as I take my elevator to the 6th floor of my house or whatever. It's just, okay, well, which is it? Yeah. You're struggling or you're fucking millionaire? Go fuck off.
Yeah. That's why I love the challenge on MTV. It's always been a culturally diverse show, right? And the Black people that are involved in that show don't let the other Black people get away with that. Famously, there was a scenario where somebody tried to play the race card, and 60% of the cast was like, don't try that here. It's not relevant. So I'm kind of surprised that Shannon Sharpe is... Well, I mean, it's one-on-one, so he's letting her get away with this. But nobody wants to say, maybe you're just a bad business person. Maybe your personality is not for everybody, and you're hard to work with. Yeah. Have you ever considered that? Have you ever considered that?
The problem is she knows that, and Shannon Sharpe has also kind of famously said, like, I'll give her enough rope. You know, my job is to ask the questions, and she'll run her mouth to her heart's content. I'll sit back and let her do that. You know, that's part of being a show host, right? And he understands that. But she'll also fully admit to being a fucking handful and hard to work with or whatever. You know,
what are we talking about then?
Exactly. If you know it, then you have to accept certain things.
For 15 years, we're still going to talk about this when you know that you're a pain in the ass.
Here's the other side of it, though. And like, if you knew you were wrong, would you fucking fight like this for 15 years over it?
No,
no. So she must be right about it in some part of her head. She's right. And she's not going to let it go. So, but she's certainly not coming off well.
The shit about Oprah having her family on is fucked up. So, I mean, that alone, I'd hold a grudge forget the money, forget the business. I would hold a grudge against Oprah for the rest of my life based on that alone. So I'll give her that.
Yeah. The better move would be like, fuck Oprah, fuck everything about Oprah, and fuck any apology she even ever wanted to fucking give me. Because
I've said that for Oprah's entire career. But that's going to bring us to the part of the show where we decide if we're going to accept or reject any of these apologies. Let's go back to Oprah's. Yeah. All of it? All of it.
All of it.
You want to just blanket statement say that?
Me? Yeah, that's my take.
The Oprah to James Frey one. Is you're saying? Did she mean any of that? Or was that
that Oprah did mean, like, I'm sorry that I took you to task over that publicly. I do believe that.
I don't. I feel like they were just revisiting a memorable moment of that show. It was just a way for, why have them back? Why revisit that?
I guess there's
context. Sorry about that.
Yeah, or I guess I don't know the context of where that apology occurred because it didn't. Yeah. It wasn't on her regular show.
Yeah, this was post career. I think she had her own network that was kind of floundering, and some producer was suggesting that they truck out the greatest hits. Remember when this guy was a spectacle on the show? Let's have him back. So I don't really think she didn't need to have him back. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't think. So I'm going to give that this.
Shut the fuck up!
Yeah, she mm-hmm. didn't mean that. But then we had Lee Daniels apologizing to Monique. Do you think Lee Daniels felt that Monique was silenced?
He even says, like, in that, I didn't hear a, I'm sorry for speaking bad about you and blackballing you in Hollywood. He did say something to the effect of, I'm sorry for anything that may have hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
But it was still this generic blanket apology that was, she accepts from Lee Daniels, but doesn't accept from Oprah.
Right.
So sorry. So sincerely sorry.
Lee Daniels was sincerely sorry. But nothing was his fault. You know, that's the Pat McAfee apology. It's like, I didn't really have anything to do with you being blackballed, but I'm sorry it happened to you.
That's a browbeaten person who doesn't want to be involved in this anymore. Yeah. Right? He's just like, yeah, if I apologize to you, can we never speak of this again? Because it's been 15 years.
Is like, for another 15 years?
Right. Like, I've got another, you know, black, you know, rich black person show I'm making that I'm not going to cast you in that I have to get back to. So,
and as far as Oprah ever apologizing to Monique, that's probably not going to happen.
Fuck you! I'm not sorry.
Oprah woke up last week and somebody said Monique was on Shannon Sharpe's show talking shit about you again, and Oprah was just like, I'll have grapefruit juice and some wheat toast and a slice of cantaloupe, please. Thank you.
Correct. But what's not going to be sorry is March 9th at Comedy at the Carlson. It's going to be a grand old time featuring Subreddit Surfing with Vinny Paulino and Cardiff Electric. You've got All Apologies Podcast live with Joe Sixpack, Andy Q Public. Producer Chris is going to be there. Carl Hamburger doing stand-up. Please go find our Instagram account. Follow that. Comment. Leave your apologies. Demand apologies in the comment section. Please rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts. And consider supporting us on Patreon. I am Andy Q Public for Joe Sixpack.
Stay sorry.